you're missing out on a real opportunity to use film to train your children, to train your family, to chew up some of the world and go, what's going on here? How can I process this? Because there's going to come a point where they're going to leave your nest. They're going to go out into the world, and movies provide a great opportunity to chew on things, to think about worldview, to go, what matches our biblical worldview? What doesn't match our biblical worldview?
Run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. Hello, biblical bosses and aspirants to same. This is your host, Steve, here at Abraham's Wallet. And we have an interesting guest with us today, an interesting man, a curious specimen, Jeff Davenport. Look at this guy. He's got a hat, he's got glasses, and he's got the earbud things with the cable coming out of them. Jeff is an old friend of mine, so I feel comfortable to hug him when I see him. I'm more comfortable with that than he is. And I also feel the freedom to jibe him when the opportunity arises. That's because we're old friends. So Jeff is with us today because you might have seen Jeff before, because on earlier episodes, Jeff, we have talked about you leaving your safe corporate job and starting your own family business where you are coaching executives and teaching people how to be great communicators. Are you still doing that?
I think so. I was doing it yesterday, so I'm assuming it's still going.
Is it working? Are you making money?
They keep giving me money. They keep giving me, I don't even ask for it. I tell them I don't want any more. No more.
I'm so glad.
And they're like,
I'm so glad.
And it's like a cartoon bag with a dollar sign on it.
That's usually how it happens. Anyhow, we're talking with you today, Jeff, and we're about to enter the holiday season. This is airing right on the, I can see the holiday season from here.
Oh, sure.
And I think it's a good time to have a conversation with someone like you, an expert in this field, about movies and the entertainment that our families are consuming. We're about to have, most people have a Thanksgiving break. Everyone has a Christmas break. There's a lot more downtime. There might be more activity because there's stuff to do when everybody's around, but there will be more time for us to, what do we call that? Discretionary time. You get to choose what you do. It is inevitable. People will be having huge screens on and they will be watching things. So we have never done an episode about talking about movies and the way that they affect your family, although it's a part of every family's life to some degree. So I thought it'd be great to have you on. Let me give a little overview of your world. Jeff, didn't you get a film and TV degree at Baylor University?
It was in radio, television, film. Sure.
And was the radio part, were you building with vacuum tubes, you're making radios?
Well, as you well know, I was a DJ at the local classic rock station, so I was putting that degree to use.
That's good for you. Then you got a screenwriting degree at USC up in California, out in California, right? That's the left coast.
That is. I got a degree in screenwriting, a master's in screenwriting. It was a dream of mine to go out there and get a master's degree from that storied institution where George Lucas went. Steven Spielberg gives a lot of money there. Robert Zemeckis went there. So it was a dream of mine, and I got to go out there and study screenwriting under some great people.
And George Lucas, he was your TA while you were out there?
He was just kind of drifting around. He had some idea for some crazy new character.
Yeah.
We're like, be quiet.
Crazy characters. I've got a dream about a character named Jar Jar Binks. What do you think, guys?
And we're all
like, can't hear you. Is this on, George?
Sorry, George.
Okay. So the point is, you have, there have been years of your life where you were in the entertainment industry. Obviously you're doing something else with your life right now, but the fact is you occupy an interesting space, I think, for us and for our people, which is you are educated in this world. When you watch a movie, you're seeing a lot more than the average bear. So you're seeing structure. You know what people are, what the writers are trying to go for. You can see some, you know, directorial choices that maybe kind of go over our heads. So I always enjoy talking movies with you, and I thought it'd be helpful for you to talk to our people about movies. So that's enough of introduction. Let's go. So Jeff, why are movies important?
The fact is, we're just surrounded by them. You mentioned the holiday season. Movies will be on. Nobody's going to be sitting somewhere. And it's either sports or movies, and probably both. And in some homes, both at the same time on different screens. Movies are just around us constantly. It is the most, you know, probably enveloping medium there is. You know, I was watching a movie the other day, and it was an old timey movie, and they were listening to the radio. And I thought, man, I bet that was pretty engaging, you know, listening to these shows. Well, then you add the visual element to the sound, and suddenly you're really drawn in. So maybe we go from books, I'm reading, and maybe see an illustration. Okay, I'm drawn in. Radio, I'm listening to someone dramatically bring this piece to life. And then TV and film, oh my word, I am full on. My senses are engaged with my eyes and my ears. It just moves you more. And so I think we're always drawn towards movies, television, that kind of thing. We're always drawn to that.
I've heard you in your communication training talking about the way your brain processes a moving image. And you talk about the amygdala. So would you say something about that?
I would say it's maybe less the amygdala. When we're watching something, I think maybe the good lesson here is that just be aware that more of your brain is legitimately engaged when you're watching something. So if I'm just listening to something, I'm processing it all through my Broca's area and Wernicke's areas. Those are the language processing areas of my brain. But when I'm watching something as well, well, now my visual cortex is being engaged. And then all these other cortex, my motor cortex is being engaged. The theory of mirror neurons says that when, you know, Luke Skywalker swings a lightsaber, well, my brain faintly feels like it's swinging a lightsaber. So it's engaging all these aspects of our brain. I mean, this is why when you've got a little kid and they're sitting there watching a movie, it's like you can't break them out of that trance. It's because it's neural entrainment. It's like your brain has been so wired in with the content. It envelops you. It takes all of you in. There's a lot of power in a moving image.
Yeah, you and I were recently talking about E.T., and there's a scene in E.T. when a young Drew Barrymore is walking by. There's a space alien in the room, but she walks by a TV and Sesame Street is on, and she just goes into trance of like watching the show. And that's what I hear you saying is, we're still in politics season, election world. And I'm thinking we see all these signs and banners around us, and they might have a slogan on them, and your kid might read that slogan. And maybe it's shoulder shrug. Maybe they think about it for a second. There's a world of difference between seeing those words and then seeing them portrayed by characters they care about, with a lush scenery that's beautiful to look at, with sounds that put you in that space, and now seeing that slogan come to life with characters, it gets way deeper into who you are than just the text. And one of our jobs, I think, is to be able to pull the text back out from this scene that we're in and be asking ourselves, what is the story that's being told here exactly? Mm. What's the message? And I think that's one of the hard jobs of viewing anything, because we tend to get in a recliner and just let it wash over us, when our job is to, hey, hold on a second, what's being said here? Which brings me to my next question to you. Why do you care about which movies dads show to their families?
Well, you know, growing up, if it was on TV, it was fair. Like, all right, maybe after 9 o'clock, it might get a little dicey. And don't go to the channels on the cable box that go way on the end, because we don't know what's going on over there. But by and large, ABC, NBC, CBS, you're going to be all right. It'll be all right. So true. We were non-discriminating viewers. And for a lot of people, we're just non-discriminating about what we allow on television or allow on the TV, the movies that we're watching, where we go to the theater. Well, it's, you know, rated PG, so it's got to be fine, right? It's got to be fine. And, you know, that is one level of thinking about things. Okay, I'm thinking about, and I think nobody listening to this is going, wait, you think I should think carefully about the content I show my children? Everybody knows, like, you don't want to, okay, let's go see The Expendables 8, kids. No, we can't do that because they're going to hear all sorts of terrible things and violence and, you know, all that. So obviously you're wanting to protect your family from some of that content. But I think there's something that's more interesting, more challenging. It raises the bar a little bit, especially for dads, as we're keeping an eye out on, you know, what's coming across the screens in our homes or for our children, our family. And it's, what are the worldview messages that are being communicated here? Going back to the idea, look, movies are all around us. And it would be nice, I guess, to go, look, we're just not going to watch them. We're not going to watch them. They're made by pagans who have no idea of who the Lord is. So we're just going to shut that out. Okay, I guess that's a possibility, but it's probably not a reality, or you're missing out on a real opportunity to use film, to use movies, to train your children, to train your family, to chew up some of the world and go, what's going on here? How can I process this? Because there's going to come a point where they're going to leave your nest. They're going to go out into the world and they're going to be in the world. And it's going to be even more enveloping than the movies because they're going to be out walking the streets of the town and they're going to be in a job and surrounded by, quote unquote, the world. And movies provide a great opportunity to chew on things, to think about worldview, to go, what matches our biblical worldview? What doesn't match our biblical worldview? How do I respond when I'm being confronted with something that, gosh, I know that doesn't match up with the biblical worldview in this movie, but boy, it seems sort of right to me. I don't know. I feel like that would be right. You're using movies. There's an opportunity for parents, for dads to use movies to go, let's chew on this. And it's almost like we're getting cuts in the batting cage.
Yeah.
About let's process what we're seeing and think, this word is often used a little too liberal, but let's think critically, and not critically in terms of, well, I thumbs up, thumbs down. Let's think critically about how does this match up with what we as believers know to be true. And how does it not match up? And how do I respond to that? So I think movies are a really important way of processing some of these things. I also think movies, sometimes you and I both know that there are certain movies that hold a special place in our heart, not because of we reminisce about it or because, oh, it's so funny, but because somehow, the pagans from Hollywood who made this movie, somehow some bit of truth made its way through, shocker of shocker, and it communicates something that is true from the Lord, and somehow it has an impact on us.
Yeah, so many thoughts on that. One, I really appreciate what you say about movies. If they're taken responsibly, they can be a run-through for let's consider this cultural belief. There's an idea out there. I always want my kids to be, I want my whole family to be culturally literate. Meaning, when they see, forgive me, this is my reference right now, when they see a politician saying something that sounds good or positive, but I can hear that's a violation of a biblical truth, what they're saying. It'd be so nice if we could, if we have had that conversation as a family, and they can see, oh, that rhymes with, that sounds like this other thing. I don't think that we can trust that because my family is culturally literate. And so that's important to me. I want us to be able to recognize there's different lies that happens at different times. Of course, there were lies that happened in the heydays of the 40s and 50s. Yes. Different lies are being said today. And if we snapped our fingers and had Paul Ingalls from 1875 and dropped him into today, he would recognize some things that maybe we would miss, but he would also miss some things that we can see because we're up to speed on what's happening right now. So that's important to me for my children to have. And just to make this, this came into mind while you were talking. If there's anybody out there that thinks the thing that we need to do is abstain 100% from all of this. Okay. I mean, I'm not here to bind your conscience. Whatever you think God is telling you to do, fine. But I'll also say there's an instruction in Proverbs that we're supposed to look at the ant. I always think this is an interesting thing. Look at the ant and learn from it. And what God is saying is there is a truth that's out there that if you can just study the way that an ant moves, you can learn things about God and about the world the way that he made it. It's not a Bible verse. It's an ant that you're looking at. We can watch things happening out in the world, whether they're news items or pieces of art, and we can say there's some truth here because it rhymes with something I know from Scripture, or I think there's a lie here. And again, I can see how that would or would not relate to Scripture. So
can I throw in one more thing, a little bit of brain science here. One of the other benefits of movies and really fiction, you could broaden that out to any sort of story, whether it's true or fictional, is that all these brain studies show that when we, let's just say, watch a movie, consume some sort of story, this is especially good to think about children. It's also true for adults, but especially with children, when they're watching something, let's say they're watching Star Wars, that story functions as, I like the way this guy, Jonathan Gottschall, describes it. It's like a flight simulator in their head. And when they're watching a story unfold, their brain is faintly feeling that that's them. I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm confronting Darth Vader. I'm flying the ship. They faintly feel that. But they're also playing these scenarios out in a safe environment, where their brain is going, oh, this is how I would handle this. Oh, this is what would happen if this happened. Now, are they going to end up in an X-Wing fighter at some point in their life? Probably not. That's probably not a reality. But they are running these flight simulators about, what if I feel strongly about something and yet the world around me is going the other direction? Or what if I feel like I need to be brave in a time where I really feel fearful? Movies provide these very safe flight simulators, and that there's a goodness and a badness to that. The goodness obviously is, they're sort of getting these weird reps in, even social reps in, that are a soft place to fall. They're just watching someone else do it and they're learning from it. Now they're also learning some other things from that they're watching how this might play out. And we might go, but that's not how reality works. That non-reality is getting stuck in their head. So it's be aware that that's what's happening, especially in a child's head, is these flight simulators. These simulators are playing out in their heads as they're watching and consuming these stories. It's true for reading a book. Back to the earlier point, when you're watching something, more of your senses are being engaged. And that it's the difference between, I know when I was a kid playing the flight simulator game on my Apple IIc, and it had like three colors, you know, like, it's sort of like flying a plane, to now, where you're like, oh my word, I thought I was really in a plane. That's what watching a movie does, is it engages more of your brain. And it is laying, to mix a bunch of metaphors, it is laying track in there. It's laying track and it's providing some sort of construct in our heads. This is the way the world works. And maybe even more deeply, this is the right way to respond to a situation.
Are you referencing The Storytelling Animal by Jonathan Gottschall?
Yes.
Okay. Would you recommend that book?
Yes, there's some dicey things. He comes at it from a evolutionary standpoint, evolutionary psychology. That said, I think there's so much great truth in it, if you're interested at all in the idea of stories and how they impact, especially in business, they're helpful.
Oh. Little professional recommendation there. The storytelling animal, how stories make us human.
Yes.
Okay. So we've got some dads and moms listening, and dads recognizing, okay, these things are powerful. They lay track in my children's brains and in my brain and in my wife's brain.
Don't overlook that, by the way. You can't watch five seasons of Yellowstone and walk out and go, I'm not, you know what? I don't think it had any impact on me. Watch yourself. You'll go, why do I hate everyone? Oh, it's because I just watched five seasons of a family that hates each other's guts constantly in new and creative ways.
Right.
It has an impact on you.
Right. And why, you know, when I get frustrated playing pickleball, I say drat.
Are we going to bleep this out?
I do. I say drat and I will yell it loudly. And it usually gets looks from the people I'm playing with. Huh? Bringing that back. Are we drat? Okay. But you know, I remember distinctly, this is years ago, but my wife and I took a foray into Mad Men. We started watching that show a few episodes. And if something, I don't know what sport, it would have been basketball at the time, frustrating happens, there's a different word that jumps into my brain. I go, huh, what? That's not really in my wheelhouse using that horrible word. Why is that in my brain? Well, I've been listening to people who get frustrated and they say that word. And we're all affected by it.
And I think I think this is where Christians usually go when we think about the impact of movies and television.
Right. Like, okay. It's an easy example.
It's this level, but be aware there's deeper things. I cussed and I normally wouldn't have cussed. It's so much deeper. There's a lot more going on. And be aware about yourself and be really aware about your children, how it is formed. Who says that, you know, we all want to be formed in the image of Jesus. And if we don't do it, the world will form it in us in their image. And comes down to how we think about things.
So dad is a little concerned here. He realizes there's some responsibility on him, that there's an opportunity with good movies to reinforce truths. And there's also a threat of bad movies to be giving bad messages into our home. And we feel that we are the curators of our family culture. So we really care about those movies. So Jeff, how should dads, this is our last philosophical question, then we're going to get into fun stuff about movies. How should dads create a cinematic universe for their families?
I think they should make their own movies. I really feel strongly about
that. Wow.
You got a phone. They should make them the way that you want them to be.
Yeah.
Criticize by creating.
Yeah, I love it. What a great recommendation. Hey, thanks, everybody. This has been Abraham's Wallet. Start making movies.
I think there's really two things. One, don't be the dad. Don't be the parent who goes, I'll just put it on. I'll be over here. Be engaged. Like, be engaged. And let's say there's sort of two, we'll say there's three categories of movies that you can watch with your family or that might possibly watch with your family. And category three is, this is bad. Like, this is just all around bad. There's not enough good here. So let's avoid this. So that's category three. The other two categories are, one category is, this is just a really great thing. It communicates some sort of truth. The level of offense is pretty low. Wow. Okay. And we're going to talk about some examples of that. Like, this one, you can pretty much just invite this one into your house and go, this is an old friend. And then there's the ones that are in the middle. And this is really where it requires a lot of discrimination and you're thinking critically about it. But it's, look, there's going to be something good in this. There is something good in this. But as we go, we're going to, I hate this cliche, but I'll use it. You're eating the fish and pulling out the bones and going, everybody see this bone? We don't just go, y'all forget that. You'll go, oh, hang on right there. Pause. See this bone right here? Why is that a bone and not a piece of fish? And maybe because of this. It's this. This is not really in line with what we believe. Anyway, you know, I just wanted to point that out. Let's keep my point. And then you keep going. And you're doing this, You're doing this mastication. You're thinking critically about movies. When I was at USC, my focus was writing, but I had to take what were called critical studies classes. And I really enjoyed these. And looking back, I wish I would took more of these. But it was looking at movies through a variety of lenses, and not literal lenses, but how does this speak to this, that, and the other? And thinking really carefully. This is what, by the way, pagans do in academia, is they go, let's consider this movie through this, through the lens of feminism. Let's consider this movie through the lens of race. Let's consider they do that. It's actually good for us to do that and go, let's consider this movie through the lens of what's our biblical worldview.
I just like to make this point and see if you agree. I'm of the mindset that from zero to age 5 to 7, we really just want, first of all, I'll just throw in a little plug here. Your kids should not be seeing a screen in their first year of life. It's really bad for their brains. Don't do that. From 1 year old to 6 or 7, I'm a real believer that they should only be shown things that are pure. They don't have the ability to discriminate and go, that's good, that's bad. They just eat it whole, and it actually makes them. Whatever they watch, it makes them. So that's why we want very simple, very positive. This is why the old Sesame Street was safe. It was friendly little characters getting along on the street, you know, very simple. Then when you have this world from age 7 to age 15, 16, this is when we start the process of, here's something that's good. Uh-oh. Daniel Tiger made a bad decision there. What is he doing there? And we want our 9-year-old to go, oh, he has to tell the truth. He can't do that. Wait, what's he doing? My point is, in those middle years, it's better for them to be exposed to something where they can go, that's bad. That shouldn't happen that way. That's not true. Hmm. And do that with a parent that's talking, than for them to not see anything.
Yes.
And I really believe that if you have an 18-year-old who has only ever seen anything that agrees with their worldview, there is a simplicity, an immaturity, and a naivete to their brains that they're not discerning in the way that they walk out into the world. So do you agree with that?
Yes, you want to, it's that training ground. You're training them to think about these things. You talk about Daniel Tiger, you know, something like Daniel Tiger, it is designed to teach children what's right to do. I remember my girls loved Daniel Tiger, and they would quote it often. And I remember where it worked. It did something good, where one time our daughter was nervous and she goes, grown-ups, come back. Because Daniel Tiger would get nervous. Where's mom and dad? Oh, grown-ups, come back.
That is so funny.
As Christians, we look at the world and go, oh, they're just trying to, maybe I'll say something controversial here. Most of what is communicated in film and television is kind of, because we live in a Judeo-Christian ethic world, a lot of the messages that are being communicated are kind of in line with some core things character-wise that we believe. Friendship is good. Bravery, for the most part, in most things, is good. Honesty is good. Now, this is not true across the board. I know it's going in a bad direction, but I always think, what were the movies that were being produced in Nazi Germany by Goebbels? And what they talked about was, might is right, and you should dominate. And those things that is the opposite of what we believe. So there is something that we're, just be aware that the world is communicating some things, but thankfully some of it does overlap. It makes me think of this quote from George Lucas, and I love this. So George Lucas, if you don't know, he created Star Wars, and he was being interviewed by a guy a number of years ago, and he said this. He said, when I started to go into Star Wars, my filmmaker friends, said, why are you making a children's film? They looked at him as like a very artsy guy, and they go, why are you making a children's film? And George said, I said, because I think I could have more of an influence on people. And I think I could have things to say that I could actually influence kids, you know, adolescents, 12-year-olds. And, you know, they're trying to make their way into the bigger world. And that's basically what mythology was a way of saying, this is what we believe in. These are our rules. This is what we are as a society. The last time we were doing that was Westerns. And of course, that was in the 70s, and the Westerns sort of piddled out in the 50s. So it was like, we didn't have any national mythology. So I said, I'm going to try this and see if it works. Take away the fact that he's not a Jesus follower, but he said movies can have a profound impact on this next generation by providing some sort of mythology. I bet you to him, it didn't matter if it was laser swords or samurai or cowboys. It didn't matter. And I've heard him say in other interviews, I wanted to instill, this was the 70s, so we're coming out of Vietnam, Watergate, America was a mess. And he was saying, I want to create something that reminds children, or not doesn't remind them, solidifies in them, friendship is good. That's one of the core themes of Star Wars. Sacrifice is good. The only character who really grows in the first Star Wars movie is Han Solo. He starts off, I look out for one person, me. And at the end, what does he do? He shows back up and blows up, you know, he takes care of business. So self-sacrifice. He would say a big theme was, don't trust this institutional authority that doesn't care about you. Don't over-rotate on technology. That was a big thing for him. So he knew as a creator, I can have an influence on kids and tell them, look, as a society, these are the things we value. So if you just take that and recognize that's usually to some degree, some more than others, but that's kind of either at the forefront or in the background, the mind of a creator, someone making a movie. So sometimes that's great. You're like, oh yeah, it is affirming these things. Sometimes it's not, and it's going to go anti. But there is a thought process for some of these creators that is, look, you've always heard it said that, you know, this, and this, these, I would say biblical ideas, that's not the truth. We as dads, we as parents have to watch out for those things. And we can't just trust, well, they made it, it must be okay. That's not the case.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for all that. The lecture hour is over. No more learning.
Pencils down.
Yeah. Now we're going to talk fun. So we've got families on the line who are all going, we'd love some recos. So let's talk actual movies, Jeff. Let's start with, what are three movies every family should see together before the kids are 15? Go. Mm-hmm.
The first one that jumps to mind, and especially as we're going into the holiday season, is It's a Wonderful Life. This movie is one of my Mount Rushmore movies. Yes. I love this movie. Frank Capra. It is old. It came out shortly after World War II. And the moral lessons from this are so in line with the Bible. George greatly admires his father. And there's a quote from his father on the wall that says, the only things that you can take with you are the things that you've given away. Well, that's a theme that comes up for George's life that he has to learn the hard way. George has all these ambitions. I want to go do something for myself. At every turn, he's forced back into his small town to help his family, to help his community, to give of himself to other people. He's learning these lessons the hard way. And the punchline at the end is he thinks, oh, it always chokes me up because there's this really powerful silly little moment where his friend has become very wealthy and he's looking at his own life and going, I can't even give my family much. We've got this ratty old car, and he kicks the door shut and you just feel that. And at the end of the movie, the punchline from the angels is, no man is a failure who has friends. And friends sounds so light, but what he's saying is no man is a failure who's given himself on behalf of his family, on behalf of his community. The ending is just so powerful.
Okay. Give us two more, much shorter descriptions of these movies.
Gotcha. How about The Incredibles? a family of superheroes who have to bond together in order to save the day. Each of them has unique gifts. They bring them together to go take down the baddies.
Yep. And a really important thing about that movie is that Dad learns to love and prize family and see that he can't hit his mission without family being involved. It's great.
That's right. He wants to basically go be the guy who's gone every night bowling, doing what matters to him.
Yeah.
But he realizes no.
Being the man cave guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Wonderful Life, Incredibles, and?
I'll say Casablanca. Very old movie. You're gonna have to get your family ready. Look, this is slower than you might expect, but it is a beautiful movie that takes place in World War II, and it's all about one guy who is so selfish. I look out for no one but me, kind of like Han Solo. Han Solo is modeled off of this character, but he learns over the course of the movie there are bigger forces in the world that I've got to lay down my life for in order to make something good happen, especially taking
those are great recommendations for if you want to build a culture in your family around biblical ideals, show those movies to your family before the kids are 15. What are three movies every Christian should see, regardless of age?
Well, I'll definitely say It's a Wonderful Life. I'll add to that a favorite of both you and I, which is A River Runs Through It. It's a movie from the mid-90s, and it's the story of a family, a wonderful little family in Montana, who the father is a pastor. It's about how to love people when people are hard to love. It is a beautiful movie about the connection of two brothers in particular, and how one is just so committed to helping the other.
And great esteem for Dad. And Dad gives a great little monologue about the words of God, looking at the river. I love it.
And if you do any sort of homeschooling and you watch this movie, you'll never forget how the dad teaches the son to write.
That's right.
It's really great. The next one is The Matrix. The Matrix is, you know, you think, oh, this kind of sci-fi movie about guys who can dodge bullets. Sure. This is one of these movies. I don't know how it slipped through the enemy's filter.
Amazing.
I don't know how it happened, except
the
Lord
guys
went,
that made this movie are totally godless.
Beyond.
But they write a movie that is a parable about the Christian life.
Yes. In short, you've got a guy who realizes the world I see is not reality. There are bigger forces at work that are battling for all of us people. And what I need to do is focus on the unseen realm, the unseen world, more than the seen world. And not only that, he becomes a Christ figure at the end. There are little biblical references throughout. The name of the ship is like the Mark 6. And you're like, oh, that's just the model of the ship. No. You read that chapter, you go, oh, it's that. The Nebuchadnezzar is the name of another ship. There's all sorts of little things in there. I got a feeling that the people who made this movie, if they look back and heard people talk like this about, they're just going, no, that's not what we meant.
No.
And God's going, I don't care. We could call this movie The Matrix, Balaam's Donkey.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, what are three movies that families might want to watch together this holiday season, 2024?
I'll go with Sit Your Family Down, watch It's a Wonderful Life. I force my family and extended family to watch it every year. They're like, we've seen it. I'm like, I don't care. We're watching it again.
I do too.
I love, and my family loves, White Christmas. Oh,
mine does too. My kids love it.
My girls, they can't get enough of it. It is so old fashioned. And I dare you not to get choked up at the end when there is honor given to this patriarchal guy. When he, this moment where he has to put on his old army uniform.
That barely fits.
His granddaughter gets choked up. Oh, granddad. It's a great movie. It is a great movie. It's a musical.
You will be exposed to a 40-year-old guy trying to date a 20-something-year-old girl. But besides that, it works just great.
And the third one is, I know it's coming out on streaming probably right as we're releasing this, but The Wild Robot, it was in theaters. And it's a movie about a robot who takes care of a little gosling out on an island, which seems really, really strange. But there's some goodness that comes out of that movie. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think this is one of those movies that's what we describe, which is it's very helpful, I would say necessary, for a parent to watch and moderate this movie with your children, because there's some really good messages and there's some iffy messages that should be, if you're the crossing guard for ideas, there are times when you should raise the sign, we need to stop here. Hmm. Okay, we can proceed here, stop here. I think it's a great movie that will help you as a parent to do those very things.
Can I throw this out too? Dads, parents, whatever, don't be afraid to shut a movie off and go, you know what? That one went too far. Not just content wise, but like in terms of cussing or violence, but you know what? This worldview, this is not what we believe. There is not going to be enough goodness here to wade through all of this. And Dad, but we're this way through. I know. But I love y'all too much to just keep going through this. So we're going to shut this one off. And if they belly, that's okay. Sometimes
good word, Jeff. Good one. Now, you know what? I'm having fun talking about these movies with you, Jeff. I think we should do more of this. I think we should start a whole podcast with just me and you talking about movies and reviewing them in depth for Christian families. You know what, folks? Not only do I think we should do that, we have done that. And Jeff and I have been recording episodes talking about some formative movies for Christian families to talk about. And I have to give a shout out. An Abraham's Wallet listener named Chris Heater has raised his hand. And he said, I will be your producer. I will help edit these mothers and I'll put these out in the world. So Chris has been tinkering behind the scenes to do this for us. And he is helping us with, you ready? Here's the drum roll. We have a new podcast we're rolling out. It's called Rocket Pop Reviews.
Bum, 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 bum.
Rocket Pop Reviews. Links will be in the show notes. We have an ask. We do have an ask for everybody listening. If you've made it this far, we would love for you to please go subscribe to that show, even if you never watch it or listen to it again, because if we can get subscribers on kind of opening week, the algorithm will go, oh, people like this, and it will be recommended to more families. So if there are Christian families out there looking for reviews, they'll find us. So we're rolling out this week, the week that this comes live. We're launching our YouTube channel officially. We'll be launching our podcast, which will be on Apple Music and Spotify, coming out in sync with this episode. Let me just hype our channel a little bit, if I may. Rocket Pop Reviews, we've been trying to populate it with a few reviews. We wanted to have six or eight before opening day. We already have, Jeff, do you know how many views we have on our...
No idea. This is like pretty much unlisted, so I don't know how they're finding it.
It is unlisted. So it's unlisted. We already have 17 subscribers as of today, and we have 18,000 views on our YouTube page, and we haven't released it yet. I don't know where these people have come from, but so we've done movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark. We did The Wild Robot. So that might be something you want to go listen to that episode right now about The Wild Robot. And you think, well, that would give me some tools for listening with my family, for watching that movie with my family, which it would. We did Superman, the movie, an old favorite of yours and mine. We're going to do a little TV as well. Anyhow, we're really asking for your support as we roll this out, because we think that it'll be a nice companion to Abraham's Wallet, in that it's an ongoing tool for families to give you recommendations. You might have heard, well, I heard Wild Robot was coming out. We haven't seen it. Is that a safe movie? Is it good for us to see? Well, we want to be able to give you quick reviews. So the way that our episodes work is you have a quick review up in the first 30 seconds. We'll just tell you whether this is a good movie, who we recommend it for, kind of a thumbs up, thumbs down. And then if you want to hear 20 more minutes on that, you can, but you don't have to. You can just get that first little hit of the recommend of the movie. So Anyways, we're going to be doing this ongoing. It's a great way to tap into, I hope, the fun of my relationship with Jeff, as well as his expertise in the world of film.
I run into so many believers who are like, well, we're trying to watch a movie tonight and we just don't know what to watch. I hear that over and over again. And this is really what it's designed for, is like Friday night's coming up. We're all going to watch a movie as a family. Do we watch Beauty and the Beast for the 87th time? Do we watch? Okay. Hey, we're going to throw you some recommendations. A lot of them are going to be new movies. Hey, this one just came out. We're going to take a look at it for you. And a lot of them are the deep cuts, the old things. Like, that's what I love, is being able to recommend something to someone and go, have you possibly seen Casablanca? What is that? Like, I think I saw the poster for that in an old timey pizza shop at one point when I was a kid. Right. Yeah, there's actually something here. So looking past the normal things, we're going to talk about, if you're our age or so, and you're like, I think this movie from the 80s, I remember it being kind of good. We'll review some of those and go, maybe it's not as good as you remember. Or actually, there's actually something really good there. It's just helping families find some options that they can watch with their kids to chew on some of these things and maybe some things that you've overlooked.
Yeah, that's a great. E.T. is a good example. I think I might have been 8 or 10 years old when E.T. came out. It comes out, and my memories of E.T. are, it's about a broken family. There's a lot of cussing. It's dark. And then we watched it to review it and go, oh, it's not nearly as bad as my memories are. It's actually really safe, and there's a lot of really good messages in it. So we talked about that in our episode. We've also talked about a movie like Goonies, which you might have seen it at age 14 and you thought that was so fun. And you go back and look at Goonies and go, I don't know that I would recommend this to my children.
Did Eddie Murphy write this? What?
We had this. I had the same experience with Back to the Future, which I didn't have Rocket Pop reviews. And I just said to my, I don't know, 11-year-old, oh, this is a fun one. Let's turn it on. And it is like, there's so much cussing and like sexual innuendo in Back to the Future. I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry, babe. And like, we would pause it sometimes, look at each other, and my kids got huge eyes and like, can we proceed? Now I've lost my confidence that we can go on from here, you know? So that's the kind of service that we hope to give to people. And again, as Jeff said, we release these on Fridays, so you might be listening over lunch or a run on Friday, and you think, well, maybe our family can watch that over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. They say create the thing that you would want to have access to. Yeah. We're just making something that I think we would love to have someone else have access to, and help you find the right thing.
Hear, hear. Well, we're excited about Rocket Pop Reviews. Thanks for making it this far with us as you run your home and your dough like a biblical boss. And thank you, Jeff, for your time. I know it's a busy day for you.
Thanks, buddy. See you soon. All right.